Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to be in Psalms tonight, Psalm 100. I'll give you a moment to get there. I'm thankful for a lot of things. Thankful for God's faithfulness, His mercy, and His grace. Thankful for the blessing that He's provided to me and my wife and my children. And thankful to be able to serve Him. Thankful for this church that we can be part of and church family. And I was thinking, even as we were taking song requests and testimonies and praises and all of that, of all the little people here tonight. And one thing I know as a father of seven is that kids are a lot of work, and there's a lot of headaches sometimes, and a lot of chaos, and a lot of noise, and all kinds of different things, but I'd never trade it for the world. Absolutely would never trade it for the world. And you can go anywhere you want in this country and find churches that are full of, no offense to older folks here, but they're full of older folks and hardly any young people. And that's concerning to me. It's concerning for the future of those churches. It's youthfulness is the lifeblood a lot of times of a church. And I'm thankful that God has blessed our church with lots of young people, little kids, and is continuing to do that. And I praise the Lord for that. I know sometimes that, you know, things aren't always as quiet as we'd like. And I continually encourage parents, watch your kids. Don't just have them running around the building. You know, we need to be respectful of God's house and all of that. But let's never forget that where no oxen are, the crib is clean. You know, it's we could have a church without kids in it, and it'd be probably cleaner and quieter and all those things. But boy, what a blessing that God has given to us in our young people. And kids, we want you to know that we love you and we're glad that you're here. And I thank God for you. So, Psalm 100 tonight, would you stand with me as we read this? Five verses. I'm sure many of you can maybe quote this even. Tremendous little psalm here of praise to the Lord. And it says, beginning in verse number 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Notice that, gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Thank you. You can be seated. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. I want to just remind you tonight that it is God's will for us to be joyful in Him. God's will for His people is to be a joyous people. And truly, throughout history, you can look from the Bible days until today, through all of the ups and downs and many dark times in history, God's people have always been a joyous people. They've always been a singing people. There is something about just knowing the Lord and having the Holy Spirit and having the Word of God that brings us great joy. And the Bible tells us that this is how we are supposed to honor the Lord and worship the Lord, is with joyfulness and to serve Him with gladness. Over in the book of Nehemiah in chapter 8, verse number 10, we're told that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Now, think about this with me. If the joy of the Lord is our strength and we fail to walk in joy, doesn't it stand to reason that maybe we would be weak spiritually? Now, I understand that oftentimes life gets us down. And we have troubles and trials and burdens and fears and Honestly, in our world today, depression rates and rates of anxiety are at all-time highs. I mean, we're seeing unbelievable amounts of anxiety and depression. We can talk about environmental factors that can contribute to those things, but the reality is that sometimes life just gets us down, and it causes us to kind of look at our problems rather than looking at the Lord. And when we do that, we fail usually to really be walking in the joy of the Lord. And yet, God's will for us is to walk in joy. Galatians 5 tells us that the fruit of the Spirit, one aspect of the fruit of the Spirit is joy. In other words, if you're a saved person, you have the Spirit of God living in you, you have every reason to be joyful. It's God's desire for us. Throughout the ages, Christians have understood a particular truth, and that is that we are to not only know the Lord, not only serve the Lord, not only love the Lord, but we are to rejoice in the Lord. And the Bible tells us over and over that we are to rejoice in the Lord. There's a phrase in the Westminster Confession of Faith. Now, this is not, we don't agree with everything in the Westminster Confession. We wouldn't ascribe to it. But there's a phrase in there that I absolutely and wholeheartedly agree with. And here's what it is. Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And Another man, John Piper, is quoted as kind of taking that and adapting it a little bit and saying this: God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. And so as we consider this, okay, God's will for us is to be joyful. He starts off the psalm and says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. In other words, there's to be joy and gladness even in our service to the Lord. How do we do that? I mean, is this just saying to us, you know, buck up and put your chin up and put a smile on the face and, you know, turn that frown upside down and, you know, kind of try to muster within yourself some gladness? No, that's actually not what he's saying. In fact, this psalm is a psalm of praise and thanksgiving. And there's actually a call here for us to be thankful and to express gratitude toward the Lord. And it's connected to this idea of our need to serve the Lord with gladness. Why is that? Because the truth is that we are most joyful when we are most thankful. You know, when we fail to have a spirit and an attitude of gratitude toward God, that's when our joy begins to wane. If we would set our eyes on the Lord and who He is and all that He's done for us, we would find that there are plenty of reasons for us to be joyful. And so we see, first of all, here in our text tonight, a call to thanksgiving. A call to thanksgiving. Look what he says here in verse number 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. He says in verse number 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. What's he saying? This is a command. He's saying, praise the Lord, sing to the Lord, and give thanks unto the Lord. Did you know that Thanksgiving is actually not the day, not the holiday, right? Thanksgiving is not a day. It is an action. Thanksgiving is the entrance into the presence of God. Thanksgiving is the entrance into the presence of God. That's what he says, right? Verse number 2, the second part of the verse, come before His presence with singing. Verse 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. What he's saying is this: if you want to draw nigh to God, you want to come close to the Lord, here's what you need to do. Begin praising the Lord. Begin thanking the Lord. Have you ever just stopped and But without even just praying for all your requests, all your needs, have you ever just stopped and praised the Lord and thanked the Lord? And even have you sung unto the Lord just privately? I know we sing together in church. It's one of the things we do, but you ought to sing in your own life as you drive down the road, as you, whatever it is that you're doing, you ought to have a song in your heart. Is that not what the Bible tells us to do? In the New Testament, in Ephesians chapter 5, we're told to be filled with the Spirit. And it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. That's what we ought to be doing. Constantly reflecting back to the Lord. Lord, I'm acknowledging that this thing and this thing in my life are a result of your goodness. And as we praise the Lord, as we give thanks unto God, we actually begin to draw nigh unto God as our minds and our hearts are reminded of all that He's done for us. But here is something that's incredibly encouraging to me. Not only is Thanksgiving our entrance into the presence of the Lord, in other words, as we seek to draw nigh to God, this is the way in which we're supposed to do it, with thankfulness, with gratitude, with praise. That is true. But let's remember, James tells us that as we draw nigh to God, He draws nigh to us. And the other side of this coin is that praise and thanksgiving not only are our entrance into the presence of God, but they actually invite the presence of God into our lives as well. We're here in the book of Psalms. Go back with me, if you would, to Psalm 22. Hold your place here in Psalm 100, but go back to Psalm 22. And I want to show you this interesting statement about the Lord in Psalm 22. Psalm 22 and verse number 3. Speaking to God, it says this, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." So he's talking to God, and he says of God essentially this: you are the one who is in the midst of the praises of Israel. Israel obviously being His chosen people, but by extension, we too are His people. And God inhabits the praises of His people. In other words, God is in the midst of them. Jesus confirmed this when He said, "Where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst of them." And so when we come together, doing what? Praising, thanking God. We did that tonight. We sang songs of praise to God. We sang Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. We're singing to God about His goodness, about His faithfulness, about all. And as we together begin to do that, not only are we taking a step and drawing nigh to God, you know what's happening? We're actually inviting His presence to be among us. Because He inhabits the praises of His people. Go back to the book of 2 Chronicles, if you would. 2 Chronicles chapter number 5. And this to me, always, every time I read it, it's one of those places in Scripture that when I read it, I just get this smile on my face. Because I remember, I'm reminded of the potential that we have in our praise. 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse number 13, it says this: "It came even to pass..." Now this is as they're dedicating the temple. Solomon's temple has just been built and they're dedicating it to the Lord. "It came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard," in doing what? "In praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, 'For He is good, for His mercy endureth forever,' that then The house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. When did the glory of the Lord begin to fill the house of God? When his people came together and offered praise and thanksgiving unto him. Because thanksgiving is our entrance into the presence of God, but it also invites his presence to come and dwell with us. And so as we look at Psalm 100, what he's doing is he's calling us to thanksgiving. He's saying, listen, be thankful to the Lord. Give praise to the Lord. Offer thanksgiving unto the Lord. That's the call to thanksgiving. But I want to show you the consideration of thankfulness here as well. The consideration of thankfulness, because the first word in verse number 3 is this, the word know. But this word know is it's a command word. I mean, he actually starts the sentence with the word know, not N-O, but K-N-O-W, know. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. A command to know, to consider. This word has the connotation to take thought of something, to learn about something. And he says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. In other words, what he's saying is this, that your thanksgiving and your praise is rooted in what you know. It's rooted in what you think about and what you consider to be so. How often do we lack gratitude because rather than meditating on all of the blessings that God has brought into our lives, we focus on our problems, things that we wish were different. I mean, really, and I understand that this is kind of a very elementary way of understanding this, but there really is a difference between looking at it and saying the glass is half full or it's half empty. All of us can look at our lives, and because we're not in a glorified state, we're not in the presence of the Lord, we're living in a sin-cursed, fallen world. Every one of us has things that we wish were different in our lives. But if we only consider those things, if we focus on only those things, the things we wish were different, the things that we don't like about our life or whatever, we're never going to be satisfied, and we're never going to be thankful. Know ye, consider this. Take thought for who God is, for what he has done. We so easily dwell on our problems. But can I say to you tonight that the blessings that God offers us far outweigh the problems of our lives? And that's true for every one of us. We woke up this morning. We had air to breathe. We had food to eat. We just got done eating a bunch of it. Most of us have family, loved ones. We've got a church family. Listen, everyone in this room, whether you are part of the church family or you're just visiting with us or whatever, you can know this. If you have a need, you've got a room full of people you can call on, and we'll be here for you. We've got clothes to wear, and we've got most of us have a place to live, and or a job or whatever it is. We've got tons of things. I mean, the Bible says that God daily loads us with benefits. He literally showers blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing on our lives. And yes, that doesn't mean that it's without problem and without trial and without difficulty. But folks, there are plenty of things to be thankful for. It really is just a matter of what we choose to think upon. And so he gives us some things to think about. If you're here tonight and you say, well, I don't really know how to be thankful. I think I've told you the story before about a family that was going through a tragedy in their life, and it was about this time of the year, and I asked them, I said, what are you doing for Thanksgiving? They said, we're not doing anything. We don't have anything to be thankful for. Sometimes you can feel that way. But he gives us some things to be thankful for right here in our text. And the first thing he points out is this: consider his supremacy. He says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. You know, you can be thankful tonight just on the basis of this. God is God. The Lord is God. That speaks to his supremacy. It speaks to his authority over all things. Our theme for the year is taken from Psalm 46 and verse number 10. Be still and know that he is God. Or be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. And so take thought for this. Consider this. God is God. He's on the throne. Your Lord and Savior, the one who calls you by his name, is in charge of everything. And he's still on the throne. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. But not only consider his supremacy, consider his hand. Look what it says. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. I want you to look at your life tonight. Consider who you are. And I don't mean just, you know, again, all the flaws and all that. We've all got those things. But I want you to think about this. You are who you are and where you are in life because of the goodness of God. It is the goodness of God that has brought you to this place. I want you to think about that. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We are the children of God by his grand design. What a blessing. Where would I be tonight were it not for God's grace? It's he that hath made me. Not me, myself. If God would have left me to my own devices, there's no telling. I probably wouldn't be alive. And if I was, my life would be a disaster. But God is good. He's been good. Then consider his nature. Look what it says in verse number 5. For the Lord is good. God is good. All the time, and all the time, God is good. And sometimes we throw that out like it's just some phrase, some kind of catchy saying. But here's the thing, when you stop and think about this, that the Lord is good, that is not simply a statement of what he does. It's not a statement of his actions. It's a statement of his character and his nature. It is who he is. God is good. The Lord is good. Now, he also does wonderful works and wonderful acts, but those things are really just a declaration of the goodness of God by his very nature. That the God that we serve is a good God. How often do our thoughts and our meditations and what we consider actually affect our outlook on life? And sometimes I think we come to the Lord and we even pray and we cry out to God and we try to pour out our soul before the Lord with all of our burdens. And I want you to know this, that God is always listening and God always cares for us. But if we ever feel distant from God, maybe it's because rather than showing gratitude and thanksgiving to him, we just want to dwell on all our issues and our problems. I want to remind you, friend, that God is a good God. And he's worthy of our praise and our thankfulness. So there's a call to thanksgiving. There's a consideration of thankfulness. And then very quickly, I just want to show you there's a contrast in thankfulness here, just so we understand the difference. Look what he says in verse number 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. There's two aspects of thankfulness right here in this verse. The first is a matter of expression. That is, that we need to make a point and be intentional about giving thanks to God. That's what thanksgiving is, right? It is to give thanks. Now, I don't know about you, but I think this is an area where we in our society are starting to lose some of the maybe better qualities of previous generations, and that is that we are not very good at expressing gratitude. People aren't thankful. They don't show thankfulness and gratitude anymore as much as they used to. And I'm as bad as anyone else at that. I try to work at it. But sometimes we can be spoiled and kind of entitled. And we forget to say thank you. I read somewhere, and I forget the exact numbers, but I read somewhere just how much even thank you notes, thank you cards, have declined in recent decades. Like, it used to be when people would do something kind for you, it was just kind of customary to give them some expression of gratitude, and now it's considered to be a great thing if we just send a text message and say thanks. I remember the first time as a kid going to the birthday party of of another kid that had received a bunch of presents, and they're sitting there, and after opening them all, the parents look at them and say, "Well, what do you say?" "Say thank you." "Thank you." And then they went on. And I thought, man, that kid is going to get it. You know why I thought that? Because I would have gotten it. I'm telling you, I mean, when I was a kid, if I was sitting there opening presents at a birthday or Christmas or something like that, I mean, after every gift, I'd look at whoever gave it. "Thank you so much. I really appreciate it." And I meant it. But that was the way I was raised. And then I see this other kid who's doing this thing and just acting like he doesn't even care. And I thought, boy, that's crazy. And yet, now I look at my life as an adult and I think, how often does God bless me? Over and over and over, and I fail to even say, "Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to me." Thanksgiving is a matter of expression, and it's something that we are commanded to do. It's an action that we're commanded to do. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, and what does it say? "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." God's will for you is to give thanks. Something interesting about that, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything. Every and thing are two separate words. Everything. Now this might be a subtle thing, but have you ever stopped and thought about the difference between the separated compound word and the compound word? Think about this. Every day. If I think of, if I say, "Well, this is just kind of my everyday clothing," what am I saying? Well, in a general sense, overall, most of the time, it's just an everyday thing. It's common. But if I say, "Every day," right? I get up and I go to work every day. I've got to deal with this every day. What am I doing? I'm emphasizing not just in a general way, but specifically in each and every circumstance, every single day, right? In everything, give thanks. No, in everything. In each instance, in each moment, in each circumstance, give thanks. Give thanks. Do we do this? Do we express gratitude to God? Listen, I just want to encourage you. Make it a habit of your life to express gratitude to God for all that He's done for you. Tell Him that you're thankful. Tell others that you're thankful for what God has done. It's a verbal acknowledgement of what God has done. And when we do that, guess what it does? It helps us in our consideration to know who God is and what he's done. So there's this matter of expression, but then in the same verse, he doesn't just say, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. He also says, be thankful. You know, there's a difference between giving thanks and being thankful. There's a difference between giving thanks and being thankful. Giving thanks is literally expressing gratitude. Thank you for this. But being thankful, well, that's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of our attitude. It's our mindset. And I'll say this, I think it's actually easier to give thanks than it is to always be thankful. It's easier for me to give thanks than it is to actually be thankful. But you know what I find? The more that I give thanks, the easier it is for me to become thankful. As I'm reminded, wow, Lord, you've been awfully good to me. I mean, if I stop and just begin to thank God for all that he's done, I begin to be overwhelmed. Lord, you've done this and this and that. I haven't even stopped and thought about it. Thank you. Thanksgiving is something we do, but thankfulness is actually something that we are. It's an issue, a matter of the heart. And so tonight, I just want to encourage you, again, as we go back to the beginning of our text, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. I want to ask you, do you have the joy of the Lord in your life? And maybe you say, well, I don't think I can have the joy of the Lord. I've got all these issues. I've got all these problems. I struggle with discouragement, depression, and all these things. I just want to tell you, all those things may be real. But if you want to have joy and you want to serve the Lord with gladness, I believe the key to that is being thankful and giving thanks and praise the Lord.